5 and 12. 1 John 5, 12 and 13. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. 1 John 5, 12 and 13. Amen. Father, bless now the next moments that we have together. In our Sunday school hour, Lord, the goal and the intent of Sunday school is to, Lord, get a little bit more in-depth look at the Word of God and the Scriptures, and Lord, to have it in a personal way that we can get involvement, Lord, and learn more about you. And as we look into this subject, grace for every need, would help us to recognize the grace that we truly do need, Lord, in regards to this passage. I pray that you might bless in a marvelous way, that when it's all said and done, this lesson may be a very, very enlightening lesson to us, and that, Lord, you would give us exactly what we need by way of grace to understand any trial that we may have in our lives. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. All right. Take your books then, and you're going to be in lesson 11, and we're going to be at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. By the way, as we're looking at this chapter, chapter number 12, we're going to be talking about grace. Grace has different acronyms assigned to it. Great riches at Christ's expense. One of the ones that I like, though, is God's ability to do God's will.
Yes, sir.
God's ability to do God's will. It's been called a favor of God, unmerited favor. Grace has so many different titles to it and definitions to it. Great riches at Christ's expense. But the one I like the most is God's ability to do God's will. We talk about grace for every need. That means God's going to give you the ability that you need to do whatever it is that he would have you to do. Amen. And that's good to know that God's going to give you the ability to do everything that you need to do. Because we come to chapter number 12, and Paul here is going to be talking about some grace that was given to him. And in your book there, it starts you off with 2 Corinthians 12, 7, 8, 9, and 10. So let's go to those verses and let's read those together. I want to look at the overview as well and have somebody to read that. So 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, verse number 7. Let's start reading at verse number 7 altogether. Here we go. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. I'm not going to make any bones about it. This is a hard saying. This is a hard saying, as they would say. Who can hear it? In other words, what Paul here is saying is that you and I should thank God for the thorns in our flesh. And then enjoy God's grace that he gives us to accomplish his will in spite of the thorn. Ah, no, preacher, say it's not so. Well, that's pretty much what's going on here. And that's what this lesson is going to be about, is you and I having a thorn in the flesh and still ministering with our thorn in the flesh. How many of y'all, when you get a thorn in the flesh, any kind of disability or any kind of thing that affects your physical life, you want to quit on God sometimes? Amen. We may not feel like we want to quit, but it does make it more difficult to do what God's called us to do. Some of us want to quit. Some of us want to stop. Some of us want to slack off. Some of us want to say, hey, look, you know, I can't do what I used to do. And some of those things may be true. But one of the things that this passage is going to talk about is that God's grace is going to be sufficient for everything. In spite of what we go through, God's grace is sufficient. I need somebody with a big booming voice to read the overview. Who's got a good booming voice that carries? Because you don't have a mic like I've got. Anybody who's got? We're going to read that. Brother Greg, he's on deputation, so I know he does. Amen. Brother, read that overview for me nice and loud. Amen. How many of y'all feel like that? We pray and say, God, take it away. Amen. We get sick, God, take it away. We get hurt, God, heal me. Our car gets damaged, God, fix it. God, just do whatever you need to do to make it go back to the way it used to be. Amen. Hey, I'm still on the prayer list for my Achilles injury. I still haven't healed up properly. I still can't jump. My calf is still smaller than the other calf. And I look in the mirror and say, Lord, when are you going to get this thing right? I want to, you know, get up there and be able to beat my son like I used to. He can whoop me now because I'm handicapped. That doesn't set well. He says, well, you must have pride issues then. Well, I've got old man pride issues. Amen. I want to still beat him like I used to. He says, well, you know, my grace is sufficient. Well, oh Lord, I'd rather have my leg than grace. Amen. And if we're honest, that's what we say sometimes. I'd rather have my old self back than the grace because I could function just fine before that. Now I've got to depend on your grace. Has it come to that? Yes, it's come to that. It's come to that. God wants to show himself marvelous in spite of what we have going on. He really does. He wants you to see that although you're not what you used to be, you can be more than what you used to be through his grace and his power. Because people look at it and say, well, you don't have what you used to have, but you're doing more than what you used to do. How is that happening? By grace. By grace. God's grace, God's ability to do God's will. Notice that second sentence again. Often as we face these trials, our initial response is to pray for God to take them away. How many of y'all like trials? You got your menu ready, and on your menu it says for Monday, I want a good, healthy dose of trials. Lord, give me trials for breakfast. Lord, give me double trials for lunch, and then give me some trials for dinner, and then for dessert, I'll have a snack of trials as well. We normally don't order our schedules that way with trials. We try to avoid trials as much as possible. That's why we have car insurance. That's why we have house insurance. That's why we have medical insurance. That's why we have dental insurance, because we don't really want to face a trial. So we'll just tell the insurance company to fix it, and they will fix it. We'll just tell the medical insurance to fix it, and we'll be okay. We'll just tell the dental insurance to fix it, and we'll be okay, because I really don't want a trial. So I'm prepared for trials. But notice that first sentence. We all go through certain trials that come with no explanation or obvious purpose. When you come to that sentence, no explanation, no obvious purpose, who biblically comes to mind in the Old Testament? Job. Job's trials came with no explanation or no obvious purpose from Job's perspective. Of course, we've got the biblical references, so we know who was behind it. But when it comes down to it, Job is there sitting there minding his own business. The Bible says he eschewed evil. He was upright. He did all things right. But all of a sudden, boom, everything that he owned was gone in one day. Boom, all of a sudden his children were gone. His wife said, curse God and die. His friend said, you must be in sin. And Job's like, for no obvious purpose. Out of the blue. What brought this on? I'm right with God. Thought I was right with my wife. She said, curse God and die. Thought I was right with my friend. They said, you must be in sin. No explanation or obvious purpose. And Job is sitting there. Hey, folks, we're going to have those times happen. We're minding our own business, doing the will of God, doing what we think is right by God. And out of the blue, no explanation, no obvious purpose, a trial is going to come in our life. And we're going to need to deal with it. And going to God and saying, God, take it away, is not the answer. Because we won't learn. But going to God and saying, God, I need what Paul had, a dose of grace. It's sufficient. By the way, Paul is just like you and I. The Bible says he went to the Lord three times. He went the first time, Lord, can you take it away? No. Okay. Serve God. Lord, you know it's kind of difficult. Could you take it away? No. Okay. Serve God. Lord, you know it's really hard to kind of really do this. Can you take it away? My grace is sufficient for thee.
My grace is sufficient.
Oh, really? Okay. Paul is just like you and I. He went to the Lord three times.
Yes, he did.
Some of us have been back to the Lord 4, 5, 6, 7, 12, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40. And we keep going back and God saying, my grace, but I don't want grace. I want it to be gone. And we keep going back. Lord, I need grace. No, I don't want grace. I want it gone. And he says, no, you really don't want it gone. You want grace. And I'm trying to teach you. After three times, Paul learned, amen. I don't know if I've learned that yet. But you're the pastor. And so your point is, if Paul went back three times, guess what? He's a greater man than I ever will be, amen? If Paul went back three times, how many times do you think I normally go back? Amen. I think this lesson, if for no other reason, is for me. I need to learn that God's grace is sufficient. He's not going to always take it away. He's not going to always say, be gone, and it's gone. He's going to say, serve me with it and use my grace because it's sufficient. It says down there, God can demonstrate his power and love in a personal way during our weakest moments. Our greatest need is God's greatest opportunity. Amen. One of the goals here, I've got several goals that it says that is the intent for this lesson. And it says, goal number one is to understand the importance of thorns or trials that God gives us. Understand the importance of trials. Are trials important? Yes. Much the same way that weightlifting is important to the athlete, or weight training is important to the athlete, or exercising is important to the athlete, or preparation for a new job is important to the employee, or schooling is important to the future adult. Much the same way, trials are necessary for you and I to progress as a godly Christian. Do we like school? Sometimes no. Do we like preparation for the job? Sometimes no. Do we like weight training and all those things that go along with becoming stronger? Sometimes no. But guess what? It's worth it. It's worth it. Goal number one is the importance of trials, understanding them. Goal number two is to understand our need to rely on God's strength. Rely on God's strength. And then goal number three is to understand how limited power we have in our own grasp. You know, when I had my Achilles injury and I really found out how small the Achilles is and how big of a job it does, and how much weight it can propel. And then when I didn't have it, I thought, wow, that little thing did that much. And to this day, I still can't do what I used to do. But guess what? My plate has not gotten lighter. My workload has gotten lighter. Preacher, what do you not do? I do not dunk over my son. I don't have the elevation that I used to have. I can't soar as high as I used to. So now I'm more vulnerable to his blocking of my shot, Aaron. To his stealing the ball from me. To his gaining on me when I used to pull away from him. I'm more vulnerable now. And so I have to rely on wisdom on how to beat him. Like blocking him out. The old school blocking out. Guarding the ball. Old tactics. Whereas before, come get it. I used to do all that stuff. I can't do that now like I used to. Now I've got to actually be wise and play basic basketball. Hey, folks, when it comes down to this, it's going to be like that. Say, preacher, what is it like? My wife, she pickled a bunch of different vegetables, and she puts them in the pantry there. Last night, she bought one out. And she said, I can't open this jar. She said, can you open this jar? When we go to God, it's like her pulling that jar out. And in her strength, she tried to get that thing open, and she tried. And she gave it to me. And she sat it there. And the boys looked at Dad. What you gonna do with that? Mom couldn't open it. You old now, you probably can't open it either. And as I looked at the jar, my wife is fully expecting me to be able to open it. Look at my boys. They kind of smiled back and saw, we saw this on TV. Mom gave it to Dad, and Dad couldn't open it. And Dad had to give it to one of the children to open. And as I looked at it, I thought, okay, let's do this here. Yeah, it's a little tough. Boy smiled at me. You can't do it. It's a little bit tight. Do you know what I did? I thought, my hand is slippery. Got one of those little rubber things. Looked at the boys. I use wisdom. I got the rubber. Pow! Open that thing up. Folks, in essence, that's pretty much what God is wanting to do with your trial and my trial. He's wanting you and I to say, I've got a trial in my life. I've got a thorn in my flesh. I've got something that I can't handle, much like my wife came to me. And God wants to be glorified by him being able to take your trial, your problem, and dealing with it in such a way where you can do what you need to do. And he does the work and he gets the glory. After the jar was open, who got the praise? Dad did. Of course, my sons chimed in. We could have did it without that old rubber thing. No, you couldn't have. Otherwise, my wife would have gave it to you. Amen. What is this like? This is like you and I bringing our trial to the Lord, saying, Lord, I can't do this. I can't function. I can't minister the way I used to. And God, I need you to minister through me like only you can. And God does it. And God does it. And God is glorified. They got several questions here. Number one, do you ever feel too weak to go through the situations the Lord allows into your life? And I'm sure the answer would be yes. Question number two, do you ever feel insufficient to fulfill every responsibility you have? And I'm sure the answer would come back, yes. The third one is this, do you ever feel completely inadequate to be a good mom or dad or a godly husband or wife or an encouraging friend? And I'm sure the answer will come back, yes, yes, yes. I feel that way sometimes. And we all face these feelings of weakness. But there's good news. We have a Heavenly Father that has no limits whatsoever. He has no limits whatsoever. There's nothing he can't do. When our strength is completely gone, we feel trapped in the depths of our own weaknesses. When the trials come and we're in a position of vulnerability or weakness, God's strength comes full blown to give you and I what we need. Let me read this paragraph here. It says, our greatest need is God's greatest opportunity. Think about that again. Our greatest need is God's greatest opportunity. If we need, that's an opportunity for God to fill in. And if we could fulfill our own need, we wouldn't need God. But when we need, that's an opportunity to let God fill that need. Let me tell you something. So many times we want to go to everybody else but God. We want to go to everybody else but God. But our greatest need is God's greatest opportunity. When we come to God with our tightened jar and say, will you open this for me? Will you use your strength? I'm too weak to open this. God gladly takes it from us and shows us how powerful He is. Wow. This is going to present a challenge for most of us. Because in our own pride, we want to do it ourselves. And sometimes, we just don't want to have to rely on somebody or something else. Lord, I want to be able to do this. But sometimes God says, but I don't want you to do it. I'm going to take away or give to you something that's going to make it a little bit more difficult for you to do so that you have to rely upon me. And you will see how reliable I can be. And you'll see how much grace and strength I can give you in spite of what you used to have. I'll give you more. Here's the challenge. Whenever you go through a challenge, a thorn in the flesh, as Paul called it, instead of praying for God to take the thorn away, pray for God to show His strength to you.
Yes.
He showed it to Paul, and He wants to show it to us. So let's get into our outline. Roman numeral 1, then, is going to be the agonizing thorn. The agonizing thorn. How many of y'all ever had a sliver in your finger or a thorn in your finger? One of the ones that's really so small that it kind of slips under your skin. It's hard to remove. If you have one of those, it's annoying, isn't it? Yeah. I remember I had one time, and for weeks, I could see it, but it was under my skin. And the only way to get it out would be to cut my finger to get it out. How many of y'all are up for cutting your finger to get it out? I was not involved in that at all. Amen. But every time I looked at that annoyance, that nuisance, that... it's there. It hurts. It's irritating. But I dare not peel my skin back and go in and get it out because I figured that would be worse. Amen. So what did I have to do? I had to adjust what I did. I had to adjust how I did things, how I use it. But every time I looked at it, I could see it there. And I'm thinking, if I could only get you out. But the more I dug, guess where? The deeper it went. The more I dug at it, the deeper it went. It wasn't coming out. It went deeper in. And I thought, Lord, when is this thing going to go away? Believe it or not, it actually did eventually go away.
Yeah.
And you know what? I didn't even notice when it went away. But it did. It did. Did life change for me? It was altered. It was altered. But did God give me what I needed? Yes, He did.
Yes, He did.
Did I do some difficult tasks with it? Yes. And guess what I was able to say? God gave me exactly what I needed despite how I was doing. And that's what this whole lesson is all about, the agonizing thorn. Notice verse number 7. Verse number 7 says, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations there was given to me. A what? A thorn in the flesh. The messenger of who? Satan to buffet me or to deal me a blow. Lest I should be what? Exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord how many times? Thrice that it might not depart from me. Let me give you A. The agonizing thorn, A. What came? What came? And what came was the agonizing thorn. Amen. The Greek word there is skolops. It's different from the one in Matthew 22:79, which means literal thorns, where you got that listed there, Matthew 27:9, 27, 29, when they had planted a crown of thorns. This is not that type of thorn that it's talking about. This word scallops refers to a prickle or a spike. Figuratively, it refers to a disability or an annoyance. So it's not the same as what was planted upon Jesus' head. It's more of a prickle or a spike. What was it to Paul actually? Evidently, it was painful. Evidently, it was annoying. Notice what he says down there in verse number 7 again. Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the where?
Flesh,
the messenger of who? Satan, to what? Buffet me, or to give me a blow. Lest I should be exalted above measure. And if it wasn't bothering Paul, do you think he would have went to God? I think Paul's a pretty tough guy. Paul got bit by a serpent. Paul got beat. He got stoned. He got shipwrecked. That's a lot. He was hungry. Bible said he was naked. He was destitute. So many different things happened to him. I think this is probably something that annoyed him, that he had to go to the Lord three times about it. Paul's pretty tough. Anytime you can preach in a town and get beat and left for dead, and you come back in the same town and preach, that says something about you. Now, brother Greg, I don't know about you. If they beat me in the town and tell me to get out, I'm three towns over already. I'm not about to come back in the same town and preach just to get beat up again. Now, if God tells me to, I'd say, Lord, are you sure you got the right town? Can we go to Gregtown? Or Dawsonville across the way there is something else. So I think Paul was pretty tough, but Paul in verse number 8 says, besought the Lord thrice that it might depart. And so what came was an actual painful disability to Paul. Now, some think it was a physical defect, amen, but we don't know, but we do know three times he asked the Lord to remove it. Okay, some think it was his eyes maybe, or several other things, but we really just don't know. But we know in verse 8, three times he went to the Lord that it might depart from him. But of course we know verse number 9, his grace is sufficient, was told to him. God chose not to take it away. Maybe Paul thought like this, God, I could do so much for you if it weren't for this thorn. God, I could be so much more loving if it wasn't for this thorn. God, I could be so much more forgiving if it wasn't for this thorn. God, I could really go an extra mile for you if it weren't for this thorn. God, I could do this, that, and the other. I could do so much if it weren't for this thorn. Do we think like that sometimes? God, if I wasn't like this, I could do so much more for you. If I only had a husband like this, I could do so much more for you. If I only had a wife, I could do so much more for you. If I only had children that did this, I could do so much more for you. If I only had a boss, I could do so much more for you. If I only had this house, this car, this job, this money, I could do so much more for you. But no, I'm like this. Do we think that sometimes? Hey, folks, I know I do. A thorn in the flesh is something that is so excruciating and handicapping that it weakens you from what you used to be able to do. And Paul said, this is weakening me. I can't do what I used to do. Why else would he go back three times? This is the Apostle Paul. This is not Doubting Thomas. This is not Bartholomew or one of the other disciples. This is the Paul, the Apostle. If you put a literal spike in any part of your body, or what this term, this word here for thorn is, if you put that in your body, it would be excruciating pain. In the same way, a figurative spike in our families or in our lives could be a physical sickness, a life failure, a family situation, a child gone astray, a strained relationship, the inability to have children, a miscarriage, a variety of other things. Thorn in the flesh is something that often brings pain every time it comes to mind. Many of you know my history. It took us 20 years to have our first child. every time Mother's Day came around for my wife, after three ectopic pregnancies, having to move one side of her ovaries and the fallopian tubes on one side, every time Mother's Day came around, it was a thorn in her flesh. She could not stand it. It was hard for her to be a blessing to any other mother because she so desperately wanted to be one. And for 20 years of marriage, we could not have children. And that just really handicapped her. And it was a thorn for her. And by the way, if it's a thorn for her, guess what? It's a thorn for me. And we had to go to the Lord. And we had to say, Lord, we know you don't owe us anything. Hey, folks, for years we thought, Lord, you owe us this. We're a man and a wife trying to please you, to glorify you. And men and wives come together, have a child for the glory of God. Lord, you owe us this. And we got angry at God for not giving us a child. God, this is your fault. Really? Really? It took several years for God to break our hearts. And it came by the way of somebody just telling us, God doesn't owe you a child. He doesn't owe you anything. And that hurt our pride. It beat us down. And we went humbly before God and said, God, we know. You don't owe us a thing. And so we're going to love you, serve you. We have a child. Guess what God did? Gave us a child. We had to be humbled first, recognize that with or without a child, I can still serve God. A child doesn't make you serve God better. Neither does God owe you anything. And if you're handicapped, you've got a thorn where you can't have children, that's not going to stop your service for Almighty God. He can still use you one way or another. And we had to get that through our thick skulls. Just because we're serving God, he owes us something. Who are you? La-di-da. Well, I'm serving God better than them. Oh, now you're comparing yourselves among each other. Bible says comparing ourselves and measuring ourselves, that's not wise. I'm an individual. She's an individual. And we have an individual personal God. So we can't measure ourselves by somebody else. Well, God, they've got 12 children. I don't even take care of one of them. Well, they've got six children. They don't even want them. They're giving them away. And they've got children, they're out in the street, they don't want their kids. We'll do it right. And that's justification. Hey, folks, what am I saying here? A thorn in the flesh is something so excruciating, handicapping, that it brings pain every time you think about it, and you believe in your mind or your heart that you can't minister unless you have it taken away. And God wants to show that with or without it, he can still move. Amen. I'm going to give you this next point and we'll finish it up next week. B is when it came. What came is a thorn, the agonizing thorn. What came? B, when it came. We'll look at that. And then C is why it came. We'll look at that next week as well. When it came and why it came. By the way, when it came, we'll see that next week. But it's amazing that it came after Paul received a tremendous blessing. He was able to see what most hadn't seen and hear what most hadn't heard. And that's when it came, to keep him humble. By the way, I ask you a question. How do you respond when you hear something great that nobody else knows but you? I know something you don't know. I know something you don't know. I got a secret. I know something you don't know. Sometimes when you get something so great, you can respond that way. And that's not good. That's not good. So we'll see when it came. We'll say why it came. And then we'll be done with the agonizing thorn and go on to the rest of that. But folks, this is going to be a tough lesson, I know, for me. And possibly a tough lesson for you as well. Let me give you a verse of scripture to meditate on this week before we come back next week. And of course, you know it's going to be verse number 9. 2 Corinthians 12:9 is going to be our verse for meditation. He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness, most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. 2 Corinthians 12:9 is going to be a memory verse for next week. But think about the agonizing thorn that you may have now. Whether it's physical sickness, a failure, a family situation, strained relationship, inability to have children, miscarriage, variety of other things. Could be something at your job. It could be something in your extended family. It could be something physically within your own body. It could be something educational, something spiritual. It to you, though, you believe is a handicap and you can't serve God as well as you could. That might be your thorn that God is saying, I'm going to leave it with you because you need my grace. And my grace is sufficient for you. Now, I don't know. But I do know this. If you're a child of God, he will often give you a thorn to show his great power, his love, and his ability to work in you and through you despite you and what you have. And his grace is sufficient for every need that you have. Whether your thorn is a big thorn or a small thorn. By the way, bigger thorns are easier to remove. Smaller thorns are harder to remove and harder to see. Now, if I got a big old thorn sticking out of my finger, you can see a big one. But a little one, I can feel it, but you can't see it. How many of y'all get the dirt particles in your eyes? You need a microscope to see it. You say, look, look. People are like, I don't see anything in there. It's right there as big as a rock. You can't see that? I don't see a thing. It's so small, but it's irritating. You can go in there and flush your eye out. Still doesn't come out. Amen. So my grace is sufficient. Let's meditate on that this week. See what your thorn is. And maybe instead of going back three times, how about going to God and say, God, minister through the thorn. Minister in spite of the thorn. God, give me your grace that's sufficient with this thorn. Lord, pour so much grace on me that I can do more than I could ever do before the thorn. Maybe we need to go back this third time, fourth time, that way. My wife and I did. We had to say, God, we have a thorn, but we're still going to serve you. We just need your grace. And guess what? He gave us his grace. He also gave us a child. Gave us three. Amen. God's good. Folks, as we meditate, let's think about these things. What is your thorn? Go to God differently this time. Father, thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you for your grace, Lord. Help us with our thorns. We all will have something different in our life. But Lord, whatever it is, help us to take that thorn to you. Lord, to allow you to work in us and to really, really work a change in our life, knowing that your grace is sufficient for every need that we might have. Bless now the refreshments next door. Give us a great morning service. We'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. You are dismissed. Don't forget, Find Our Family is with us. Amen. Get a chance to meet them as well as you go next door and receive refreshments.